Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Some of you listening right now heard those very same words as they were first broadcast, perhaps on these very same radio airwaves 80 years ago. And this year, on Oahu, with 150 honored World War II veterans in attendance, the keynote speech to address the significance of Pearl Harbor, the American response that followed, and why it all still matters today, was delivered by the Secretary of the Navy, Carlos Del Toro. Again, forgive the hum that plagued the sound system in Hawaii Tuesday morning.
Air raid on Pearl Harbor. This is no drill. Those words were broadcast to the fleet from right there on Fort Island at 7:58, 80 years ago. 2 minutes later, an armor-piercing bomb penetrated the decks of USS Arizona, igniting her forward ammunition magazine. The resulting explosion and fire killed 1,177 sailors and Marines, the greatest loss of life ever on any U.S. Navy ship. In just under 2 hours, 21 ships of the United States Pacific Fleet were either sunk or damaged. 188 aircraft were destroyed. Another 159 were damaged. The material costs were grave. The human costs were even worse. 2,403 dead, 1,178 wounded, sailors, Marines, soldiers, and civilians. Many of those civilians were Hawaiian Americans caught in the fury of the attack throughout the island. We honor them here today as well. We gather today to remember all of those that we lost on that infamous day. But we also gather to honor the bravery and the skill of all who fought back, those that saved lives and those that persevered. Because it wasn't just the fleet that was attacked here at Pearl Harbor. It wasn't even just our nation. It was the very future of freedom and democracy. No one understands the value of those words more than someone born in a land where neither freedom nor democracy exists. My family fled Cuba when I was a young child seeking a new life in the United States. We found that better life because of the honor, the courage, and the commitment of those who have always fought to protect our nation's freedoms. We found it because of the veterans, you all sitting right here today, who also served from every background. African Americans like Petty Officer Dory Miller, who earned the Navy Cross for firing back at the enemy from his ship, the USS West Virginia. Irish Americans like Ensign Francis Flaherty, who earned the Medal of Honor by sacrificing himself on the Oklahoma, guiding shipmates to safety. Native Americans like Rear Admiral Francis J. Meade, who navigated a cruiser during the attack on Pearl Harbor. Hispanic Americans like Marine Private Richard Trujillo, a new recruit serving aboard USS Nevada, and Naval Aviator Manuel Gonzalez, one of the first American casualties of the war. Italian Americans like Marine Gunnery Sergeant John Bassoloni, who would later earn the Medal of Honor for his heroics on Guadalcanal. Asian Americans like Army Lieutenant Daniel Inouye, who we will honor tomorrow with the commissioning of a destroyer in his name. Hawaiian Americans like Ben Kanahili, a civilian who was awarded the Medal of Merit for his heroism that day. And many women like Ann Danio, one of the nurses aboard the USS Solace at Fort Island, who tirelessly treated over 130 wounded and burned sailors and Marines as the attack continued all around them. We remember each of them and so many others of every background and birthplace, all Americans who fought that day or volunteered to serve soon after. They lived up to our national motto, et pluribus unum, of many one. We are all Americans. They made it clear that the United States will never sacrifice our beloved principles. And they sent a clear signal to authoritarian states everywhere that we will never back down. Just like those brave souls, generation after generation of Americans have risen to carry freedom's torch over the past 8 decades. And as the USS Arizona Memorial reminds us, freedom does not come cheap. We gather today not only to mourn those who were lost on December 7, 1941, but to remember why they were here in the first place. They answered their nation's call. They placed themselves in harm's way, and they fulfilled their oath to the fullest extent. We will never forget warriors like Senator Bob Dole, who served with valor in Europe and carried the wounds of war through a long life of honored public service. We will never waver in defense of the peace and security forged through the sacrifice of that greatest generation. And we will carry their legacy forever in the United States Navy and in the Marine Corps. A reminder of that legacy sits in my office in Washington, D.C. It's a ship's bell, time-worn and battle-scarred. It is stamped with the name USS Vestal, a repair ship that was secured outboard of the Arizona on that fateful December morning. When Arizona exploded, 6 sailors were trapped in a fire control tower. One of the stranded sailors was Petty Officer Don Stratton of Red Cloud, Nebraska, who died earlier this year. And I just recently met his family. In his memoir, he wrote, "The ship was ablaze. Our shipmates were dead, wounded, and fighting to live. We were all wounded and had no way out." But these sailors were not alone, nor were they forgotten. A sailor on USS Vestal, Petty Officer George, spotted them. He tossed them a line. Despite orders to cut loose from the sinking ship, he urged these wounded sailors to climb across the sagging rope, hand over hand, over the burning water. All 6 of those men made it across to safety. We sometimes talk about our victory in World War II as if it was inevitable, only a matter of time. But there was nothing inevitable about one sailor's decision to toss that line. And there was nothing inevitable about the courage it took for those wounded men to get across from the lowest point in the line to the safety of the Vestal. And it took millions of individual acts of valor and courage at home and overseas to carry our nation across the long ordeal of World War II. Today, we remember and honor them and the many Pearl Harbor and World War II veterans who are with us today. We carry your legacy as we stand ready once again to defend freedom and democracy around the world. Let there be no mistake. In the face of authoritarian threats, we will never back down. We will defend our freedom and stand by our partners and allies around the globe. We will always be like Petty Officer Joe George, ready to toss a line to all of those individuals and nations in need. We will always be like Petty Officer Don Stratton, ready to cross through the fire to continue the fight. So on behalf of a grateful nation, on behalf of our President and our Secretary of Defense, I thank all who fought through that long and horrific war and all the families who served and sacrificed along them. I also thank those who rose to defend freedom in Korea and Vietnam, the Cold War, Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan, and every other conflict. I also want to thank you, the American people, for your unwavering support of our military and their families. It's so very important to us. And most of all, I thank the men and women who continue to serve today in our nation's military. They are also brave souls. May God bless each and every one of you. May God protect your families. And may God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Carlos Del Toro, Secretary of the Navy. And if that story about Don Stratton escaping the burning USS Arizona because of the heroic acts of USS Vestal sailor Joe George sounded a little bit familiar, perhaps you've heard it from Stratton himself here on Hometown Heroes. He was amazed all the way until his passing last year that he managed to survive that situation.
Had to be a lot to do with the good Lord, I guess. But we were kind of trapped up there. We got out of the director and on the deck there, and the Vestal was alongside a repair ship, and we got a hold of a seaman there that threw us a heaving line that's a line with a lead on the end to stretch it out, and a small line, and then he added a big, heavier line, and we pulled that across, and we tied it off on the Arizona, and we started hand over hand across it, and we were already burnt. I was burned like over 60% of my body, I guess. The bomb that hit on the starboard side behind number two turret went into 1,000,000 pounds of ammunition and it blew up. That just was a fireball that just engulfed us up there where we were at, and no way to escape or get off. So until we got the line there to go hand over hand across, we're kind of just stymied up there, and you're just trying to get out of the way from the flames and thinking about how the hell am I going to get out of here. It's about probably 65, 70 feet across there, and we had to go hand over hand across there.
As I told the crowd in Clovis, California, during remarks I was privileged to share this Pearl Harbor day, get a hold of Don Stratton's book, All the Gallant Men is the title, and you'll understand so much more about the events of December 7th, 1941, as well as the burden and the mantle those survivors carried with them. Richard Grantham was not at Pearl Harbor in 1941, but he was there in 2021, thanks to the Best Defense Foundation. And if you're wondering who some of those 150 World War II vets present for the commemoration were, here's a taste of why that occasion meant so much to them, too. Dick Grantham's neighbors in Arroyo Grande, California, know how fortunate he was to survive a kamikaze attack much later in the war aboard the attack transport USS DuPage.
The ship's company would take all over all the duty of the ship, and so I was like a fifth wheel. They didn't know what to do with me, so they assigned me to a gun, and I was on a gun crew, and that gun crew was on the port side of the ship, just forward of the fantail a little bit with a 1.1 gun at the time. And there was a whole crew of us in there on the port side. That's the ship that the kamikaze did land on right there and destroyed that whole port side of the ship. And my gun crew, I guess I'm the only one that survived from what I hear, and all the others died instantly. And I even had one of my friends was on a 2 in 40, and he and I were really good friends. And he was from Fontana. We'd talk about different things back in, when we'd go to the Moonlight Rollaway in Pasadena and different stuff. And we were talking about it. He says, well, if one of us dies accidentally, if one of us dies, the survivor will go visit the other's parents. Well, neither of us had any idea that anything would happen to either of us. Well, I had to visit his parents. And there's another thing. His parents, that was their only son. And they got the letter from the War Department that says, we regret to inform you that your son has been killed in action. And what those parents went through, I'll never forget. My mother, for a year, she didn't really know what was really wrong with me. So my poor mother had to suffer, and my dear mother is really dear to me. I feel really remorseful for that, what she had to go through there.
Well, and as you said, your friend's mother became a Gold Star mother. Her son was killed in that same incident that wounded you. Do you remember his name, that sailor from Fontana?
Yes, I do. John Shriver. And the first thing that they asked me was, Johnny Shriver, they said, I've got a picture of him upstairs. But anyway, they asked him, did he suffer? The first thing they asked me, did he suffer? And I says, no, he didn't suffer. He was dead before he knew anything was happening. It was instant. Because with me, it was like I was being barbecued in a microwave instantly, and I didn't know what was. My first indication was I thought maybe the 5-inch cannon on the fantail had backfired. So I didn't know. The heat was so tremendous, that terrible, terrible, terrible heat. And I remember trying to get away from that heat, and I backed into this thing, a magazine. I thought, oh, there's bullets in there. I better get out of here. And you think of a million things in split second that don't happen to otherwise. And so I remember that there's other guys that were trying to get down this one ladder that goes down onto the fantail. And I figured these guys needed that ladder better than I did. So I climbed over the side, and it was about a 10-foot drop. And I dropped to the fantail, and 'cause trying to get out of the heat was so horrible. I never felt any heat like that in my life, ever. I hope I never do again. But anyway, I remember there was guys jumping off the fantail there into the water, and I was about ready to jump in the water myself, you know, because we thought the ship was going to sink. And so the whole thing was nothing but fire. And so I looked over the side of that. It was nighttime, black, inky water there. And I thought of octopuses and sharks. And I thought, I'm going to try to take my chance a little longer aboard of a chicken, I guess. And so it pays to be chicken. And the ship didn't sink, though. It pays to be chicken. So then the next thing I knew, I was in line. I don't know how I was got in line, but there's a guy behind me, a guy forward from me, and we were pushed along. And I remember I run under this one guy, and he says he's bleeding in the face. And I've had to have anxiety. So I gave him my handkerchief, and then we all went midships. And that midships, there was a Warrant Boatswain kind of directing traffic. And so he pointed, some of me pointed down to go down, and the others he took pointed to go up, you know. And so when I came up there, pointed me down. And I at this time, you just follow orders. You don't know what's going on, you know. And so I went down, and lo and behold, I was in sick bay. And in sick bay, there was things. The corpsmen were overwhelmed, and there were stretchers to carry, or there was bandages to help guys get in, caught, and legs gone off, and it was horrible in there. So I started carrying stretchers and help bandaging stuff, helping. It was about 2 hours later, you know, and about 2 hours later, one time we were down there over the loudspeaker, they said that on this bomber, it was a bomber that landed on our twin-engine bomber that landed on our ship, and one bomb went off. The bomb that went off was about, 25 feet from where I was standing, and it went and it destroyed the whole gun crew except me. But anyway, there were a couple of heroes to go to throw the bomb over the side that didn't go off. And about 2 hours later, things begin to settle down pretty good. And so one of the corpsmen come by and he says, "Okay, Dick, it's your turn." And I says, "For what?" And he says, "Look at your arms." Well, from my waist on up, I was burnt and there was blood all over it. I didn't realize. Here I was working and doing stuff and they call it suffering from shock or something. I didn't feel any. The pain I originally felt was that heat when the thing first went off. It was horrible, horrible heat. That really hurt. But after a while, I was just busy doing stuff and carrying stretchers and batting. I didn't think about it. And here my arms were all bloody. My upper part of my body was burnt. And so they put these big grease all over me, some kind of grease, and then bandages prop my arms up. So I couldn't even move my arms after that because the bandages kept my arms almost straight out, and so I couldn't do anything. So I was able to walk up to the bridge and able to get to the bridge, but I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even move my arms or anything except for these doggone bandages that were up there. But that was it. And as far as pain goes, I think to this day, the one that really suffered was my mom. Kind of brings tears to my eyes to think about what my mom must have went through. And now that I have kids of my own, I just think 17-year-old kid in a situation like that, and you get that telegram, must have almost killed her.
Our veterans have sacrificed so much, and so have their families. Again, that was Richard Grantham, one of the 150 World War II veterans privileged to be on hand in person for the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. When we come back, more of the vets who experienced that occasion and what a couple of them have to say about that experience. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.